Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey, people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. We want to encourage you to be sharing the podcast with friends. Let them can join us as we grow in faith together, as we grow in our ability to follow Jesus, as we grow in our understanding of God and His Word together, because we want to do that, be more than just on Sunday mornings. Many of you, I think many of you, go to church here at Christ Lincoln and are part of our worshiping community here. If you are not able to be part of our worshiping communities here at Christ Lincoln, well, I'm sorry about that. Sure, God's blessed you with a good church too, but our church is the best, so there you go. But anyway, I don't know that it's a competition. But in any case, this past Sunday, I promised the folks here at Christ Lincoln's Yankee Hill campus that I would have a podcast this week about the Pharaoh of the Exodus, because we've been going through a series here at Christ Lincoln on the Exodus during the season of Lent in 2025. So today I want to fulfill that promise, potentially. And that is share with you about the Pharaoh of the Exodus. Now, I'll preview this by saying that we are not 100% sure who the Pharaoh of the Exodus is. I think we have a pretty, well, very good idea who it was, but we're not 100% sure. And so Christians, good godly Christians, differ on who the Pharaoh of the Exodus was. And guess what? You can still be saved if you disagree with me about who the Pharaoh of the Exodus was, because our salvation is not based on the belief in Pharaoh, but belief in Jesus, who shed his blood so that the angel of death would pass over us and we would live forever. And nevertheless, I think it's a very interesting topic. Who was the Pharaoh of the Exodus? Who was the father of the Pharaoh of the Exodus that adopted Moses into his home? Who was Moses' stepbrother who he grew up with there in Egypt? And who was the son of the Pharaoh who, the Bible says, was killed when the angel of death came through Egypt and killed the firstborn in every house, even the firstborn in the house of Pharaoh, the scripture points out. So let's dive in. First, let's get into the scriptures and see if what we can do about dating the Exodus. And there's two kind of dates that contest for the date of the Exodus. It's called the early date and the late date. It's a good thing there's not three. They wouldn't know what to do with the third one. But the early date is based on a verse in 1 Kings, or I should say the argument for an early date starts with the verse 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And in 1 Kings 6, 1, reads this way. It says, in the 480th year after the Israelites came out of Egypt, in the fourth year of Solomon's reign over Israel, in the month of Ziv, the second month, he began to build the temple of the Lord. Well, we know when Solomon began to build the temple of the Lord. He began to build the temple of the Lord in 966 BC. Okay, maybe give or take 1 year, or maybe that's an exact date. It's very, very, very close, 966 BC. So that's a pretty, pretty accurate date, 99.9% sure. So when you add 480 years to that date, you arrive at 1446 BC. So that would mean that the Israelites left Egypt in 1446 BC. That's pretty clear. There's other scriptures that back that up. There's a scripture in Judges that dates the Exodus. And when you calculate the dates there, again, it comes out to the mid-15th century BC. There's the words of Stephen in the book of Acts, again, indicating, based on what we know about the pharaohs in Egypt, of a mid-15th century BC, or at least it lines up with a mid-15th century BC date. And so that's been, for much of church history, much of Jewish history, that has been the accepted date of the Exodus. Of late, meaning in the last 100 or 200 years, there's been a push to change the date of the Exodus to a late date of the Exodus, and which would be around 1280, 1260, somewhere in there BC, so the middle of the 13th century, so bringing it forward about 200 years closer to us. And why is that? Well, Exodus chapter 1, verse 11, this is kind of the Bible verse that's pointed to date this. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. Well, we know from history that Ramses II built the city of Ramses in about 1280 BC or so, the mid-13th century BC. Dates are a little bit more uncertain the further back you go. So, well, there it is. So people say, well, then it must have been a later date of the Exodus if the Israelites were building Ramses during the reign of Ramses II. Well, the people who believe the early date, including me, would say, well, not so fast. Sometimes you refer, two reasons, sometimes you refer to cities by later names that they're known today as the the book is being written, or as in this case, the book being updated after Moses wrote it. And so because in later times, that area, that place was known as Ramses, this may have been, that may be an updated version of the original name of the place, number one. Number two, there's no evidence in Egyptian history that Ramses was a store city. There's just no evidence that it was a store city. There's no evidence. Well, this would go for early and late dates. There's really no evidence that we know of in Egyptian history that the Israelites built Ramses or any other store city. And so you can see why a country that was defeated would erase things out of its history if they don't want to acknowledge that parts of their history. We see that happen today all the time where people go back and rewrite history. So just because there's no evidence, a lack of evidence, doesn't mean it didn't happen. But nevertheless, the point is there's no real other biblical evidence of a late date of the Exodus. All the biblical evidence points to an early date of the mid-15th century. Well, if you go back to the mid-15th century then, who was the Pharaoh in the middle of the 15th century? BC. Who would have been the Pharaoh at the time of the Exodus? Well, the Pharaoh most likely would have been a guy named Amenhotep II. And I want to share with you, and we'll see if this passes content restrictions. I want to share with you a piece of a video of the explaining the discovery of Amenhotep II's mummy and the mummy of his son as well. This is a video by Joel Kramer, Joel P. Kramer. And I'll give you the information on this later as well, in case you want to look it up and kind of check it out further. But a guy named Joel P. Kramer, who's an archaeologist, lives currently in Amman, Jordan. He grew up in Saudi Arabia. Strong, strong Christian man. And he has a YouTube channel called The Expedition Bible. And that's where this video is from. So let's take a look. While he's in, I'll just note this before I play the video, while he's exploring the actual tomb, And the parts of the video that are from the tomb, he speaks very softly. So you're going to hear that as you listen. Don't think something happened to the audio. It's just the way he speaks when he's in the tomb of this Egyptian pharaoh, Amenhotep II. So let's take a look.
Loret wrote, "At the end, a door opens into the darkness. We advance, and with astonishment, we distinguish an immense room, entirely decorated, supported by two rows of three pillars on which are painted life-size groups representing a king in the presence of a deity. It is indeed him. It is indeed Amenhotep II.
Wow, this is the six-pillared room.
At the back of the six-pillared room, Loret descended the stairs leading down to the royal sarcophagus, whose lid had been removed by the looters. Loret wrote, "Is the open sarcophagus empty? I dare not hope otherwise, for pharaohs have never been found in the necropolis of the Valley of the Kings. All royal mummies have been removed in antiquity and placed in a safe location. I reached the sepulcher with difficulty. I read everywhere outside the name and title of Amenhotep II. I lean over the edge, advancing a candle. Victory! A dark coffin is there at the bottom."
This is the staircase that came down. This is the sarcophagus of Amenhotep II. So Loray is explaining that when he comes in here, there's broken antiquity all over the floor. And so he creeps over here. He sees that the lid is off the sarcophagus. He looks over the edge and down in, and to his great surprise and delight, there is a coffin at the bottom of the sarcophagus.
So at this point, Loray doesn't try to open the coffin. He comes back up the stairs into the main chamber. In the six-pillared room, Loray found funerary statuettes and wrote, "All are in the name Amenhotep II. One of them, however, bears the name of the royal prince, Webensenu." He finds all these funerary statuettes. What the ancient Egyptians believed is that these would do menial tasks, magically serve the deceased in the afterlife. Well, one of these funerary statuettes was inscribed with a different name, the name that would become known as Webensenu. Based on this find alone, Loray reasoned that this must be the son of Amenhotep II, the royal prince. Loray wrote, "We move to the chambers on the right. In the first one, upon entering, an incredible sight strikes us. Three corpses lie side by side at the back. The second corpse in the middle is that of a child about 15 years old. He is naked with his hands placed on the abdomen." The mummy in the middle was that of a young boy between the age of 15 and 11. "The head has been shaved except for one spot on the right temple, from which a magnificent lock of black hair emerges. This was the hairstyle of royal princes, and I immediately think of the royal prince Webensenu." What was unique about this mummy was the hairstyle. This boy had a shaved head, and then coming out the side was this ponytail, which is known as a horse or a prince's lock. This was the hairstyle, symbolically, that was worn by the children of the king.
All right, so there you have it. We're going to stop the video there, and I got a little clip, another clip to show you in a second here. But so there you have the discovery of Amenhotep II, his mummy, actually, his mummy, like the actual dude, and a son, a prince, Webensenu, who was Amenhotep II's son. So Joel goes on to talk about a couple of things. One is, how do we know that was Webensenu? Well, specifically, there are funerary jars that contain the innards, essentially, of the mummies. And so if you noticed, if you were watching on YouTube, you saw that part of Webensenu's gut was cut out, and around his heart was cut out. And so these funerary jars then contain those inner parts of Webensenu. This guy, who Joel is quoting, it's from 1898, a guy named Victor Loray is the guy he's quoting. Victor Loray was the one exploring the tomb in that video. In any case, what he finds is a funerary jar containing the innards of Webensenu, and the jar is labeled Webensenu. So clearly, that young man there is the prince Webensenu, based on his hair, based on the funerary jar discovered with his innards there in the tomb with him. So all of that points to the fact that this is Webensenu. In addition, we know that Webensenu died before his father, the pharaoh, Amenhotep II. How do we know that? Because when pharaohs die and are buried, the tomb is shut and sealed, and no more people are buried in that tomb with him. So that means that Webensenu had to die before his father to be buried in the tomb with him. If he had died after his father, then he would not have been able to be buried in that tomb, because the tomb would have been closed and shut. And so while this is not 100% case, it's certainly a very, very strong indication that Webensenu died before his father Amenhotep II. So if you're not catching this, what you have here is the tomb of Amenhotep II, the guy, the pharaoh, who likely Moses was disputing with, and really God was disputing with, the one who pursued the Israelites out to the Red Sea, whose army was drowned in the Red Sea, and then who was later died and was buried in this tomb. And we have the mummy of, likely, the mummy, potentially, of the young man, the firstborn of Amenhotep II, who died in the 10th plague. We have the guy. We have the mummy. What an amazing find this is. And we've had this these two mummies for, 125, 130 years now. And yet you don't hear a lot about these because there's a strong preference for this late date of the Exodus. Well, if you're a biblical scholar, which Joel Kramer is, then there's a strong preference for the early date of the Exodus. We don't, again, know 100% sure which one is right for sure, and strong Christians can differ. Again, you can go to heaven and believe the late date or early date of the Exodus. But the point is, the Bible, the text of Scripture, would point us to an early date. It would point us then to Amenhotep II from what we know about the history there in Egypt. Okay, so let's take a look for a second here on the screen. I'll talk about a couple of things, and then we'll go back to a just the kind of the topper, the most impressive archaeological find about Amenhotep II. I'll share that with you here at the end of the video. But for right now, I'll tell you a couple things. The dates of Amenhotep II. So he was the seventh pharaoh of the 18th dynasty. And I'm not an Egyptologist, so that means very little to me, except for the fact the dates mean something. We're uncertain of when he began his reign, because as you go further back in history, the dates become more and more vague. He either began his reign in 1452 or in 1427 BC. Well, 1427 would be a little bit late, not incredibly late, but a little bit late. 1452 would really match well with a biblical date of the Exodus. It'd be perfect for this pharaoh being the Exodus pharaoh. And we talked about his son, Webensenu, preceding him in death, and why we think, why we're almost certain that Webensenu preceded his father in death. I'm also giving you, if you're watching on YouTube on the screen, information about Joel Kramer, because just owe a huge debt to him. I've watched, I've watched all of his videos, but many, many of his videos on YouTube. His channel is called The Expedition Bible, and a great, strong Christian, so love that. And love the way he presents information about the past, about Scripture, and about archaeology. And he has a book called Where God Came Down. I have that book sitting next to my chair in my living room. Great book, Where God Came Down. So if you want to order that on Amazon, certainly you are welcome to do that as well. All right, so let me then now play for you something that is just, to me, incredible about Amenhotep II. And I'll be back with you momentarily.
Opens this coffin, then inside is a mummy that's wrapped in a shroud, and on the shroud is written the name Amenhotep II. So there is absolutely no doubt that the mummy that he found in the royal sarcophagus was the mummy of Amenhotep II. So this mummy was taken then and further studied by G. Elliot Smith, and his work was published in the Catalog of the Royal Mummies. And what he found particularly unique about this mummy was that, as he described it, the whole body was covered with what he called tubercles, these boil-like sores. And he didn't know if it was a disease that caused this or if it was something else, but he said, he wrote down, they are certainly unusual. And so unique, actually, that of all the mummies that were found in the Valley of the Kings, the only one that was covered with these boil-like sores was the mummy of Amenhotep II.
Wow, isn't that incredible? So you got all the mummies that have been discovered in Egypt of the pharaohs, and only one has a body that's covered with boils. And what was one of the plagues? One of the 10 plagues was the plague of boils. And you can picture Moses standing in Pharaoh's presence, and he says, this is the next plague, and he throws this ash into the air, and boils break out on all the people and all the animals of Egypt, including on the Pharaoh, you would presume. Standing in front of him, Pharaoh gets these boils, gets this disease on his skin, and I just can't imagine how that scene where that happened. But here you have one mummy that we found in Egypt, mummy of a pharaoh, that has these what look like boils on his skin, you know, still remaining there because potentially of the plague of the boils when God was sending the 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. Isn't that incredible? I think that's incredible stuff, and an incredible support archaeologically for the early date of the Exodus there. Now, again, the Exodus, this guy may not be the Pharaoh of the Exodus. A late date might be preferred, but wow, this is incredible stuff. And so we don't want to make too much of this and say he's definitely the Pharaoh of the Exodus. But as Joel Kramer says, we don't want to make too little of it either. This is powerful testimony that potentially this is the guy. And this guy, Weben Senu, this young man, might be the mummy who died during the 10th plague when the angel of death passed over. Wow. Amazing, amazing stuff as you put the Bible together with archaeology. And what you find is just astounding. So I pray that, and I hope that this podcast just increased your faith, gave you something to think about at least, but increased your faith as if we need it. We have God and His Word who's faithful, so we know it's true. But when archaeology lines up, it's just amazing to me and causes me to wonder at what God has seen fit to preserve for us, even to this day, to encourage us in faith that what God says in the scriptures is true, that things happened as God said they happened in the scriptures. All right. Well, thanks for listening to us today on the podcast. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about this, other things that you might have discovered about the Exodus or other events of that time, archaeological. If you know Joel Kramer, let me know. If you've watched others of his podcasts, they're excellent. I highly recommend them to you on YouTube. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.